Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the closing market report. It is the 19th day of July, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll check the agricultural energy market with Mike Berwinski. He's at Louis Dreyfus. And then as we close out the program, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Checking the numbers in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the September wheat at $6.93.5 for the soft red, up 4 cents. December 7.26¾, 8.5 cents higher, and December wheat at $8.21¾, up 2 cents on the afternoon. September hard red at $7.78, finished 17 cents higher in Kansas City. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, nearby September, at $6.98 a bushel, a penny and 3/4 higher today. December, the harvest month, at $6.87¼, up 10¼ cents. The March at $6.99¼, up 10½. May, $7.05, 11½ higher. July corn, $7.09 a bushel, up 9½ cents. September of next year, down 1/4. December of next year, down 4¾. It finished at $6.20½. August soybean futures at $13.79¼, down 6¼ cents today. September at $13.77, down 5¼. November beans at $13.82, 4¼ lower. And January of next year at $13.90¾, down 5¼ cents. The March at $13.92¼, 6¼ lower. And next year's November beans for 2012 at $13.39½ a bushel, finished 7 cents lower. Bean meal at $3.60.10, up 80. Bean oil at $56.69, down 23. Live cattle futures, August contract 110.50, 65 cents higher. August feeders at $135.57½, up a dollar. And the August lean hogs at $90.65 per 100 pounds, up $1.20. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $97.63 a barrel, up $1.70. Ethanol, $2.91¼¢, up 5¢¢. Natural gas at $4.53 now, just a penny and 6¢ lower. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.105, up 2¢¢. The gold finished at $1,600.90 today, down $1.20 an ounce, and the Dow at 12,592 stands just about 208 points higher. The dollar at 75.2 is down 0.2. The CRB index at 346.54, that's up 2.7 for the day. The weather forecast looks like this for this afternoon for the Urbana-Champaign area: scattered showers and thunderstorms, sunny, a high near 94 degrees. The heat index will climb to 110, northwest winds at 6 mph. The chance of precip in the area this afternoon set at 30%. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 75. Tomorrow, sunny, a high of 95. Heat index at 110 again. Tomorrow night, clear, a low of 77. Southwest winds at 7 mph. Thursday, sunny and hot, a high of 96. Thursday night, cloudy, a low of 77. Friday, mostly sunny, a high near 94 degrees. And Friday night, partly cloudy with a low of 76. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high near 93 degrees. An excessive heat warning, of course, is in effect. That until 7 p.m. on Saturday. Hazardous weather outlook is for portions of central Illinois, east central Illinois, and southeastern Illinois. The heat and humidity will persist across the region today. Afternoon high temperatures will top out in the mid-90s, of course, with peak heat index values through that period at about 110 degrees. We'll talk more about that heat when we discuss it with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, at the bottom of this half hour.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Another interesting day in Chicago, probably mostly about the weather, but other things were afoot, too. What did you see?
Well, I think, you know, we started off with the early morning weather showing a little more heat and a little more veracity that way. Also, then we saw that Spain had signed and cleared up some of their credit problems. They paid 1% more in interest, but they did get that signed, and the euro dollar strengthened on that. The dollar sold off. It was down about what it was up yesterday. And also, we saw crude oil turn around, be up about $2. So, you know, the outside markets were strong. The other markets, you know, and the weather was a little hotter, so we saw the rally in the end of the overnight. And we continued that rally into the open, and then, you know, we scaled back and sat there very quietly until the noon weather forecast came out, Todd. And, of course, that added a little moisture in the second week of the forecast, and we saw some profit-taking, especially in the beans.
It added the moisture, but there is the ridge out there that suggests, I think we'll hear later in this program, and still is the case, that hot weather, humid weather will continue next week or build back into the Midwest again.
Yeah, the ridge de-amplifies and shifts westward during the 11 to 15-day period. There's a little better chance of normal rain in the north and eastern Midwest, you know, it's still hot and dry conditions in a lot of the area. So the high-pressure ridge hasn't stayed out in the west so far on this one, but it does look like it'll continue to maybe gain and feed off the other dry areas that are out there. So there's some little differences in there. But, you know, it's still a warm forecast for the rest of the month.
What are the people you're talking to, whether those are farmers, agronomists, weather folks, discussing as it concerns pollination, blooming for soybeans, those sorts of things?
Well, I think, you know, we've been talking about this. I think you and I talked about it the last time I was over for Commodity Weekend, that it's probably just as important what the overnight lows are or how high the overnight lows are as compared to just the heat during the day. If we have the overnight lows dipping down into 65 to 70, well, then the plant's got a chance to recover and come back, and the pollination does seem to work quite well. But if it doesn't, if it stays above 75 in the evening, low temperatures, why, that's where we seem to run some problems. I think Darrell Good set a memo out on that this week, too, also. So, you know, that's one of the things we're a little more concerned about. We are, you know, somewhat concerned with the bean blossoms dropping during this time, too, and that's something a lot of people are looking at. They're pushing back and saying beans are an August thing, but they have to keep those blooms alive for those pods to form.
And what anything else on the marketplace before I let you go for the day is really the question here.
I think that we need to watch the European debt situation along with the weather, Todd.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Now, if you're interested in hearing what Wayne had to say, or any of our analysts for that matter, you can always do that again on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find everything from our pre-opening market report to our closing market report on a daily basis, including the midday updates. And they are posted within a half hour of the time they air on our radio stations. If you can't get to one of the radio stations to hear us, can't get to our website, dial this number. It's 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. It's just voicemail. It's updated at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day with a bit of analysis, either from the pre-opening or opening market report, and either the opening numbers or closing numbers. Now up next, we'll hear from the state statisticians updating crop progress in their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending July 17, 2011. Areas of northwest and north-central Iowa received rain, with isolated heavy rain reported, while strong straight-line winds cut a swath across central Iowa, flattening corn and damaging grain storage and outbuildings. Statewide, average precipitation for the week was 1.23 inches, compared with the weekly normal of 0.96 inches, and temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 2.8 degrees above normal. There were 5.3 days suitable for fieldwork statewide during the week. Only northwest and north-central Iowa had less than 5 days suitable, with northwest Iowa having just 3.3 days available for fieldwork. On the other extreme, southeast Iowa, where there has not been any measurable rainfall in July, had 7 days suitable for fieldwork. Crop development rapidly advanced during the week due to the warm and humid conditions. 56% of the corn crop is now tasseling, up 52 percentage points from last week, and now is just marginally behind the five-year average of 57%. While nearly one-third of the crop is silking, still behind the normal pace of 38%. 61% of the soybean crop is blooming, slightly behind the average of 62%, although pod setting at 6% lags further behind the 16% normal pace. 80% of the corn crop and 77% of the soybean crop are rated in good to excellent condition, down 2 and 3 points respectively from last week. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office. Above normal temperatures along with below normal precipitation were the story for the 7-day period ending July 17. The temperatures averaged 78 degrees or 2 degrees above normal, while rainfall accumulations for the week came in at 51 one-hundredths of an inch, which was 19 one-hundredths of an inch below normal. Topsoil moisture supplies now stand at 9% very short, 29% short, 54% adequate, and 8% surplus. Growing degree day units since May 1 ended the week at 1,553, and this total was 58 units, or 4%, ahead of the historic average. Statewide, corn in the silking stage advanced to 62%, compared to 87% last year and 63% for the five-year average. 4% of all acres planted were reported in the dough stage, compared to 17% 1 year ago and 9% for the five-year average. Overall, the corn crop was rated in 61% good or excellent condition, down 6 percentage points from last week. Soybean blooming progress ended the week at 45%, and this compares to 61% last year and 51% for the five-year average. 8% of soybeans have begun setting pods, compared to 14% a year ago and 11% for the five-year average. Overall, the soybean crop was rated in 62% good or excellent condition, down 2 points from last week. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with the crop weather report for the week ending July 17, 2011. Rain in Panhandle County has delayed progress of wheat harvest, while high humidity made curing of hay a challenge for producers. Heat pushed corn pollination along, with about a third of the crop showing silked ears. The impact of high winds on corn stands was being assessed in some central and eastern counties. Irrigation was active in many areas, and producers were monitoring livestock to minimize heat stress. Corn conditions rated 82% good to excellent, near 81 last year and 74 average. Soybean conditions rated 80% good to excellent, while soybeans blooming was 41% behind 50 last year and 53 average. Wheat harvest was 28% complete, behind 41 last year and 11 days behind 60 average. Harvest of oats was underway at 30%, while the second cutting of alfalfa was 60% complete. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Intermittent rain and thunderstorms rolled across the state this past week and ended the longest stretch of dry weather so far this summer. Warm weather helped advance crop development and maturity. Reporters in the west central areas noted some green snap occurred in corn from high winds earlier Monday morning. Several rounds of showers and thunderstorms, accompanied by excessive heat and humidity, prevailed late in the week. Heavy rainfall prompted flash flood warnings from the National Weather Service for areas of the Minnesota and Sauk Rivers. Corn height averaged 55 inches. and corn silking was underway at 11%, 25 percentage points behind the average. Corn condition rating declined slightly from the previous week, with 24% fair, 54% good, and 14% rated excellent. Soybean height averaged 14 inches. 33% of the soybeans were blooming, compared to 59% last year and 54% for the average. 2% of the soybeans were setting pods, 5 points behind the average. Soybean condition was rated 26% fair, 53% good, and 13% excellent, nearly equal to the previous week. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending July 17, 2011. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is a crop progress and condition report for the week ending Sunday, July 17th. Extremely hot, dry conditions place stress on crops and livestock during the week. Irrigation systems were running full force as topsoil moisture was quickly depleted. Topsoil moisture was rated 6% very short, 35% short, 53% adequate, and 6% surplus. Temperatures range from 2 degrees below normal to 7 degrees above normal, with a low of 54 degrees and a high of 99. Storms producing high winds moved across a few northernmost and southern counties, causing some crop damage. Farmers are concerned over the high temperatures and lack of rain as a good portion of the corn crop is beginning to pollinate. 31% of the corn acreage is silked, compared with 78% last year and 49% for the 5-year average. 31% of the soybean acreage is blooming, compared to 63% last year and 43% for the 5-year average. The winter wheat harvest is quickly coming to a close across the state, with 97% of the crop harvested, compared with 98% last year and 93% for the average. Livestock were under stress from the extreme heat and humidity, with some death loss reported, especially in poultry. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for those weekly crop progress reports. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. It comes to you courtesy the University of Illinois and Illinois Public Media. Up next, weeds are adapting to herbicides. They're developing resistance profiles to not just one, but many types of herbicides. This stacked resistance, as you'll hear, is causing problems in Illinois and other parts of the nation. Water hemp is one of a handful of very unique weeds. It, like Palmer amaranth in the cotton fields of the South, has become resistant to some herbicides, glyphosate in particular, but other herbicides too. Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager from the University of Illinois has been keenly watching this development of what he calls stacked resistance in water hemp for about a decade. He says water hemp, because of its DNA, has been able to adapt to herbicides used too often to control it.
Water hemp as a species can produce an abundant amount of seed. Individual female plants, any given season growing in competition with crops, 200,000-300,000 seeds is probably not out of the ordinary for this particular species. So we also know that many of these types of resistance that water hemp has evolved are actually able to be transferred in the pollen. So it's really a case of where we see movement from an existing source of resistance, either by the seed transport itself from that field, and of course seed can move in a variety of ways, for example, through machinery, through animals, through water movement, wind, etc., but also by pollen. And of course pollen movement can be fairly far in terms of its movement from that original source. So many times, and the other unfortunate thing about pollen is, say you have a particular type of resistance in one field, but now you have pollen moving into that field that contains a second type of resistance, and now all of a sudden what you begin to do is you begin to stack these types of resistances either within that particular field, or in many cases, you begin to stack resistance in individual plants.
There are two primary points in that discussion of water hemp by Illinois' Aaron Hager. The plant can quickly populate and spread if left uncontrolled, and it can develop stacked herbicide resistance. There are populations of water hemp in Illinois resistant to all the currently available types of herbicides, and that's a big resistance profile problem. The University of Illinois will screen, free of charge, water hemp samples for resistance. It's a simple process, and one farmer should consider, says Aaron Hager.
It's a screening service that we're offering free of charge. We're able to do this through some financial support that we have from the Illinois Soybean Association to try to help farmers again confirm what the resistance profile might actually be. And they can find more information about that in issue number 10 of this year's bulletin.
The bulletin can be found online. Search Google for this phrase, bulletin, comma, Illinois. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us today, Mike Barwinski. He's a senior trader at Louis Dreyfus Commodities and joins us from his, well, brand new office in Wilton, Connecticut. Thank you so much, Mike, for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your move. And, we're sorry to hear that this will be the last time that you get to talk to us. You were in Kansas City. How you like Wilton?
I like it quite a bit, actually.
Right.
I went to school around here, so it's sort of a bit of a homecoming.
No, that's good. So tell me about the marketplace for energies and ethanol today.
Well, it's been quite volatile. You know, sort of with the corn market here, we've seen margins improve quite a bit in over the last month and a half. The market went from, I'd say the last time we talked, from a worry about producing in August and September to now, pretty healthy margin-wise.
And the Louis Dreyfus plants are both out west.
We have the one in Iowa and the one in Nebraska.
And so you're not too worried then, I take it, about being able to collect corn to make it through to the new crop?
We've been hearing quite a bit of chatter about it, about concern, but, whether or not it comes to fruition is really, a big doubt in my mind. It doesn't, at least in our areas, I don't think it's going to be an issue. Maybe in some of your eastern locations in Indiana and Ohio, who already had issues from last year's crop, could be more of a factor.
So tell me more about this ability to continue to work with a broader margin. How did that change, and what part of the equation changed that made that happen?
Well, it was really ethanol sort of. Stocks are drawing down, and corn just kind of, when it fell after the June 30th acres report, ethanol didn't follow it one for one. So it's sort of been outpacing corn both towards the down and the upside here lately.
And why is the demand there for ethanol then?
It's high driving season. Stocks have been weaning down. A lot of your larger buyers were sort of reducing their inventories. Mostly because they just didn't have the demand, and prices were steadily dropping. So they just kind of got caught all of a sudden once driving season started picking up, that they had more product to cover than they expected.
And you're not worried about the price of corn in September and margins dissipating?
No. I think, even looking out there right now today, there's still a positive margin, barring the ability for plants to run and purchase enough corn. Plants should be running.
Thank you so much, and we appreciate your time for the last couple of years, Mike.
All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Mike Barwinski is with Louis Dreyfus. That's the last time we'll have him on the air with us here. He's been joining us, I think, for about 2.5 years in our agricultural energy segment. We rotate through 4 or 5 folks each and every Tuesday on the Closing Market Report. For some of you on our radio stations, I'll return in a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day. We'll say goodbye to the rest of you for the afternoon.
It's National Daiquiri Day. The cocktail was supposedly invented around 1900 in a bar named Venus in Santiago, Cuba, about 23 miles east of an iron mine by a group of American mining engineers. It's also St. Vincent de Paul Day, patron saint of horses. On this day in agricultural history in 1104 was the first Flinch Day. A married couple who can prove to a mock court with a jury of bachelors and maidens that they have not had wished themselves unwed are awarded a flinch of bacon that's half a pig. The origins of the custom are in Dunmow, Essex, England. Details are not certain, but references to it go back to 1104. It has been a regular civic event in Dunmow since 1855. And it's now held every 4 years and is frequently televised. In 1814, Samuel Colt was born, an American firearms manufacturer. He made popular the Colt 45. In 1863, Curtis Marbot was born, an American geologist. He was one of the founders of modern soil science. From 1895, he taught geology at the University of Missouri, while also working for the Missouri Geological Survey and directing the Missouri Soil Survey. In 1910, he left Missouri and was a soil scientist for the U.S. Bureau of Soils for the balance of his life. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is on the phone to talk about the agricultural weather forecast with us. Don, is the heat going to dissipate? Are we going to keep it around? And do we get that second ridge in the future or not?
Well, yeah, there's going to be some weakening of the ridge, actually a couple of them. One coming as we get into Thursday night, Friday into early Saturday, then again early next week. And this will take a little bit of edge off the heat. But as disturbances come around the circulation of the high, we certainly are going to be in a situation where some shower and thunderstorm activity is going to be a possibility. And that'll take a little bit of edge off the heat as well. But we're expecting by the middle to the end of next week, high pressure to just build right back on in again. So we're going to continue with the heat and the humidity unabated here, just a couple of small pauses in the heat and humidity.
I want to come back to the shower activity, but talk to me about the rest of this week. How high are the temperatures? What are dew points supposed to look like?
Well, dew points are going to be easily getting into the 60s, some areas even into the 70s. Tremendously high dew points, so we're going to continue to have these high heat indexes. Now, I can tell you that parts of the Midwest and the Corn Belt, especially the Eastern Belt, we'll see a little push of some Canadian air coming out of the northern Great Lakes early next week. So we may have a little respite from the humidity sometime between next Tuesday and next Thursday and Friday. But until then, muggy is going to be the key word.
Okay, and tell me about those showers and what they look like and how widespread, if they will be widespread, what kind of rainfall and precipitation amounts there might be.
Well, just about all of the Midwest and Corn Belt could get rained on. The most concentrated area of shower and thunderstorm activity is probably going to be across South Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, Iowa, some of the lower Ohio Valley areas, Kentucky, southern Ohio, another area that will be picking up maybe a little bit more. But there's no particular area, one or the other, that's going to be more focused on for rain. These are going to be small weather systems that will trigger clusters of showers and thunderstorms that on some days will get you, other days they'll miss you. But they're going to be out there and frequent enough that some rain is going to fall over most areas, at least if you go over the next week to 10 days.
And in the Southwest, they're still suffering, I take it?
Oh, from the heat, yes. And there's been some rain in Texas, but mainly in the central and eastern areas. But even places like Houston, maybe, have some chances of getting some rain later into the forecast period.
And very quickly, is the Chinese corn crop in better shape potentially than the one we have here in the U.S.? And
well, so far it hasn't been quite as extreme, although they're experiencing now a little bit of some warmer weather. And parts of China will experience some pretty good heat. So they're going to get a little heat stressed as well, although it hasn't been as bad as it's been here.
Thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather. This has been the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Mm-hmm. agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.